What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, Pete Crow Armstrong is making a really, really strong case for that NL MVP. Over the weekend, he hit five more home runs, three in one game. So regardless of how the Cubs played over the last week, this dude has just been knocking them out of the park, and it's honestly looking like he is well on his way to winning his first ever MVP. But let's get into the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Beginning with number one, because it is not a new number one, because this number one has remained consistent all season, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 85-52. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the New York Mets and the Texas Rangers, and this team just will not let up, you know. They are playing great baseball in all ways, offensively, defensively, and just making all the right moves and really have not fallen off. They are easily going to win this division. And, you know, it kind of feels like every time they're going to fall back, it's they just keep it moving. And they really haven't had a down, they haven't really had a slump yet in the season. And, I mean, it kind of just looks like this team is really ready to make a playoff run. And I kind of feel like they're going to be very difficult to get by. You know, I keep saying the National League is going to beat each other up because they're all so damn good. I mean, who knows? The Brewers could walk away and end up in the World Series, and I honestly would not be surprised because they are just playing great baseball and have been all season long. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Atlanta Braves, overall record of 82-55. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they are currently on a 7-game winning streak as well. So they're basically the hottest team in the league at this point. And this week, they swept the Dodgers, and then they swept the Colorado Rockies. So they just, this Dodgers series was a good one, but they were able to just keep it moving and really just dominate. And it's kind of crazy to watch, but the Dodgers are getting dominated by a lot of these good teams. So it's kind of looking like they could be beat once we get to the playoffs. Now, of course, they are the defending champs for a reason, so you cannot overlook them. But I will definitely say they've been getting beat the last couple of weeks by some really good teams who are definitely going to be right there with them in the playoffs, and they could be potentially going up against them. Of course, Matt Olson, he's been having another great season himself as well. And I mean, he's really been carrying this Braves team from start to finish. Then, of course, Chris Sale, he had a dominating start over the weekend in which he had a complete game shutout. So, I mean, this team is really looking good. Starting pitcher, relief pitcher, with the depth that they have in their batting order. I mean, they really are just one of the top tier teams, and they're getting guys back from injury as well. So they are just looking really hot and beating some good teams and just really making a case for being one of the top teams in the National League right now. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Tampa Bay Rays, overall record of 82-54. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Detroit Tigers and the San Diego Padres. And man, that series against the Padres, it was a crazy one. They were just going back and forth, and they did take the series. But I mean, it was crazy. But their great defense over the weekend is what really just took them above the Padres in that series, and then also just making the plays when they needed to. Their pitchers did what they had to, and it was just a really, really solid win from the Tampa Bay Rays. Really good week for them. And what's really shocking is right now they lead the league in batting average with a .260 batting average. So this team is really, really playing well, been the most consistent team in the American League, and still the number one team in the American League. And who would have thought we'd still be talking about the Tampa Bay Rays at the end of August? Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 77-60. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Seattle Mariners, but swept the Los Angeles Angels. Zach Wheeler got his 11th win on the season. Kyle Schwarber, he's got 40 home runs on the season. So the veterans are doing what they need to do. Bryce Harper's still getting on base. I believe his on base streak right now is at like 35. So he's getting on base. Trey Turner's starting to get hot. And this is a really, really good Phillies team. I mean, even though they're behind the Braves and probably going to be behind the Braves, I don't think it matters. As long as this team gets in the playoffs, they're going to be a really difficult team to get by, especially when you got dudes like Wheeler and Schwarber starting to get hot at the right time. I mean, Schwarber's been on fire all season. I mean, still, you don't want Schwarber hitting Schwarb bombs against you in the playoffs. And it looks like that's probably what's going to be happening if you go up against the Phillies. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 82-55. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got swept by the Atlanta Braves, but did take the series over the Detroit Tigers. Tyler Glasnow, he is back from injury and had a really solid outing over the weekend against the Tigers. But it does look like Shohei Ohtani is probably not going to pitch again in the regular season. Maybe in the postseason, but I kind of feel like that this injury is probably just going to hold him out of pitching, and they're probably just going to keep him on the offensive side of the ball because that is where he's really needed. I mean, especially when you've got Glasnow, who just came back, who's playing really solid baseball, and then it also looks like they're going to get Will Smith back this week. And I mean, he's huge for them offensively, and so they're getting him back at the right time in the season. Then at number six in my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Overall record of 78-59. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Houston Astros, but kicked the crap out of the Boston Red Sox. I mean, this one wasn't even really close. It kind of felt like a couple of games were close for a minute, but then they just got away from them, especially the one last night. Yesterday, the Yankees ended up getting the win 16-1, so it was a completely dominating weekend by the Yankees. Austin Wells, he had a couple of home runs. Cody Bellinger, he had a few hits and home runs as well to really bolster this Yankees offense, which is really what they need. And then it's kind of looking like George Lombard Jr. is starting to fall back a little bit. I mean, he started his rookie tenure looking really hot there, but defensively he has been not looking good at all. He's been making a lot of mistakes lately, and I wouldn't be shocked if he maybe gets sent back down to the minors. Now the rosters will be expanding tomorrow, I believe, so everybody's going to be able to add more guys, so maybe Lombard will stay on the roster. But if they bring up back up Volpe or bring Volpe back up, I kind of feel like I wouldn't be shocked if Lombard kind of gets sit down because his defense has been not good at all lately, and it's cost them a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and they really need, even though they need the help offensively, he just really hasn't been panning out defensively. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Boston Red Sox. Overall record of 74-63. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins, but lost the series to the New York Yankees. And, I mean, they really just had a bunch of weird errors against the Yankees. I mean, they dropped a couple of balls. They had some weird defensive plays, and it was just kind of a weird series for them. That's just kind of what I feel from the Red Sox. I mean, they've been on fire as of late, and I definitely feel like they're going to be a team that gets one of those wild card spots in the American League. But even so, they still have their up and down moments, and you could just tell that they have their what the fuck moments going on here. And they had a few of those against the Yankees over the weekend. And it just kind of showed that while they are looking pretty damn good at times, they still have their moments and they still need to get better. And they still need to keep it up. But even so, they are still a solid team. They just got beat real bad over the weekend by the Yankees. Then at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Chicago White Sox. Overall record of 72-64. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Texas Rangers and took the series over the Minnesota Twins. And they just really continue to own their division. All the young guys are stepping it up. Murakami's been playing well since he came back from injury. Miguel Vargas has just been having a phenomenal year just overall. And they're just really getting a lot of production at a lot of their guys. You know, they traded they made some trades, they made some moves, and they just are really, it's just kind of crazy. Like I continue to say, the turnaround that this team has had since they were so terrible the last couple of seasons, and now here they are looking like they're going to win this division. I kind of feel like it's their division to lose at this point, because even though the Guardians are usually a team that's there lurking, the White Sox have played much more consistent baseball, have looked a lot better all season, and at this point, I kind of trust them a lot more, and I'd really actually like to see them in the playoffs a lot more just because they have a lot of young guys on the come up who I kind of feel like we're going to be talking about for quite some time, and it's just, like I said, it's very crazy to see this quick turnaround from this White Sox team who's probably going to walk away with this division when it's all said and done. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 69-68. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. And it's really just all about that triple crown watch with Yordan Alvarez. Right now, he does lead the American League in all three categories. He's batting a .317, 37 home runs, and 93 RBI. So he currently is on track for that triple crown. Could potentially still get the overall triple crown, still behind Schwarber, of course, in home runs, and I can't recall who he's behind in RBI, but he's behind somebody else in the National League as well in RBI. It could actually be Schwarber, but I don't think it is. I can't remember who it is, but either way, he's just been having a great year, and it just kind of looks like he is well on track to winning that triple crown. And like I keep saying about the Astros, I feel like they're going to win their division, and this is a team you really don't want to face in the American League, because once the playoffs roll around, this team has probably the most veteran experience other than the Yankees, and it's just like you can't really trust the Yankees at this point. So don't be shocked if you see the Astros make a little bit of a run here towards the end of the season and in the playoffs. And then to round out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week have the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 77-60. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Arizona Diamondbacks and then lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds. But like I said, PCA has been on fire. I mean, this has been a great year for him. This past weekend, he had 5 home runs, 3 home runs in one game. And it just feels like every time this dude comes up to bat, he's going to do something big. And he's really just making a case for himself, obviously, for the MVP. I mean, a lot of people are making the case for Ohtani, but it's just kind of like, nah. Pete Crow Armstrong has really just, he's really just lit the baseball world on fire this season. And it's, you really can't talk about many other players over him other than maybe, you know, Matt Olson's been having a great year, but I don't think he's been making the same impact that PCA has been making. Of course, Yordan's been having a great year. Now they're in two different leagues. So, I mean, Yordan's probably the leader right now for the AL MVP. And those are the two probably hottest guys behind the plate this whole entire season. I mean, they've both been very consistent, been huge for their teams, and it looks like both of their teams are going to end up making the playoffs, and who knows what happens once you get there. But PCA has just been having a great season, and in my opinion, he definitely is the National League MVP. All right, so let's move on to the my NFL season predictions, because we have NFL football right around the corner. So let's go ahead and do the NFC and AFC North teams this week, or today. And just going to go ahead and start it off with who I think is going to win the NFC North this year. I've got the Chicago Bears winning the division. I got them going 11-6, just because I kind of feel like they're the most consistent team in this division. I feel like a lot of the other three teams have a lot of questions at a lot of different positions. Some of these teams even have drama going on with them, whereas the Bears are just coming back off of this crazy season that they had last year. I kind of feel like Caleb Williams is going to just continue to grow under this Ben Johnson offense. I feel like Rome Odunze might kind of break out this year, and he and Williams, I kind of feel like are going to have a real solid year together. But then you also take a look at the tight end position. They've got two really solid tight ends with Loveland and Kmet, who I feel like are going to make some big plays for them. I do look at the defense, and there's a few questions there, but, you know, they still have Montez Sweat, so I feel like they're going to get some sacks and quarterback pressure out of him. But it's really the secondary, so we'll see what we get from the secondary. But I just kind of feel like this division is theirs to take, because the other three teams have a lot of questions, and I just don't feel like they're going to be as consistent as the Bears will be this season. Finishing in second place in the NFC North, I have the Green Bay Packers. I have them coming in at 10-7. Now, when I made that prediction, that was before Josh Jacobs was put on the exempt list. So at this point, we don't really know if Josh Jacobs is even going to play at all this season, because he was arrested in the offseason, and now the league has put him on the exempt list, and it looks like he's definitely going to at least miss this first game. But it's kind of looking like he's going to miss some games, an extended period of time, could even potentially miss the entire season. Who knows? And so since it's up in the air, I kind of look at that, and I feel like that's a huge blow to this Packers offense. Because last year, he was a big reason why they were able to do so many things offensively. And then behind him, they don't really have a lot of talent at the running back position. So I feel like that's going to be a big deal for them. With that being said, they do have a lot of other injuries as well, and I kind of feel like the Packers are going to be a team that starts off slow and then gets going towards the end of the season, and it might be a little bit too little too late to catch the Bears in the division, but maybe to make like a wild card playoff run, because they will be getting Micah Parsons back midseason. He's slated to miss the beginning half of the season with his, I believe, ACL injury, so he's going to miss the first 4 weeks for sure. And don't know when he's coming back, but he's definitely missing the first 4 weeks. Then you have Tucker Kraft, their standout tight end, who also tore his ACL last year. He's coming back from injury. Not sure when. It looks like he's probably going to start week one, but maybe not. So I just kind of feel like the Packers have a lot of questions with a lot of players. And so it's kind of feels like to me the Packers are probably going to start off slow and maybe get going once the second half of the season gets going. Finishing in third place in the NFC North, I have the Detroit Lions. I have the Lions coming in at 7-10, and to me, it just kind of feels like the Lions' window has officially closed. I didn't think they had a long time for their window, just because it always is difficult to keep that window open, just because you lose coordinators along the way, you lose players along the way, and it's really just hard to kind of keep up in this league, and that's what I feel like is going to happen with the Lions this year. I think they're actually going to come crash back down to earth. You know, they've been one of the top teams in the NFC, been very competitive. They've even made it to the NFC Championship game, which was very shocking. But even so, I kind of feel like this is not going to be their year. Like I said, I feel like the Bears are going to dominate the division, and I just don't see a lot going on with them offensively, defensively. I just feel like there's a lot of questions with this team, and I just really don't trust them. Hey, they're the Lions, and like I said, this is a really difficult league to keep it moving every single year, and that's why you when a window closes, it's like you don't have it at next year sometimes, and I just kind of feel like the Lions probably going to take a step back this year and not really be that great of a team. And then finishing out the NFC North in fourth place, I have the Minnesota Vikings. I have them going 6-11, really just because I'm not sold on Kyler Murray. I never really thought he was going to be that great when he was with the Cardinals. He wasn't that great when he was with the Cardinals. And now here he is with the Vikings. He will have a lot more weapons with the, you know, Justin Jefferson. He's one of the top receivers in the league, if not the top receiver in the league. So he should have some fun with him. And then, of course, you've got Aaron Jones in the backfield. So when he's not injured, he's usually a very solid running back. And he will have a pretty decent offensive line ahead of him as well. But it's just, like I said, I don't know what I'm going to get from Kyler Murray, so I can't really trust this guy. And I just don't. The Vikings are just that team you look at and you go, what are we going to get from this team? So until they prove something to me, I don't really know what I'm going to get from them. So I've got them finishing in last place in the division. Moving on to the AFC North. This year, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this division. I have the Steelers winning the division at 10-7. This is going to be the first year with Mike McCarthy as their head coach. This is going to be Aaron Rodgers' last year, so basically his last hurrah. He has let it be known that this is it for him. And so I just kind of feel like the Steelers actually do have a pretty solid team. They picked up Rico Dowdle at the running back position in the offseason, and I think the pairing him up with Warren in the backfield is going to give them a little bit more, because that was really what they were missing last season. And, you know, you got DK Metcalf out there. Him and Aaron Rodgers already had some nice chemistry, so I just kind of expect them to go back out there and pick it right back up. But like I said, I feel like that Dowdle pickup is going to be a huge pickup for them, because he's good not only at the running back position on the ground, but he's also really good in the open field, in the screen game. He's very talented, and he could get you some really solid chunk plays as well. And then, of course, they're still strong on the defensive side of the ball. TJ Watt, as long as he's there, I feel like this team is going to be a force. And then if you just have so much going on in the secondary, at the linebacker position, I just kind of look at the Steelers as being the most well-rounded roster, because I look at these other three teams, and it's, to me, it's a huge mixed bag. That's actually why I picked the Steelers to win this division, because I just think they have a lot more going for them than the other three teams. So finishing in second place in the AFC North, I have the Baltimore Ravens. I have them going at 7-10. It's just because I really have no idea what to expect from this team. Last year, they were so bad, and we just weren't really used to that, and it just really hasn't been like that since Lamar Jackson's been drafted by this team. I mean, they had such a terrible defense last year. We're not used to seeing the Baltimore Ravens with the terrible defense. But I just don't know what we're going to get from this team. So I have them going 7-10 simply because I don't really believe in them a lot until they show me something. I mean, they do have a lot of talent. I won't be surprised if they make a run for the division, actually play better than I expect them to. But I just, since there's so much in the air this year for me with them, I really am not expecting much from the Ravens this year. Then finishing in third place in the AFC North, I'm expecting even less from the Cincinnati Bengals. I have them coming in at 6-11. You look at the running back position, not a lot of depth at the running back position. And you look at the defense, and that defense is absolute trash. I am not expecting a goddamn thing from this defense. And then you look at Joe Burrow. They did nothing to shore up this offensive line. And with that being said, is Joe Burrow going to survive this season without another debilitating injury? Because they refuse to get this guy an offensive line, which just pisses me off because it's like he is one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He's extremely talented. And then you've got Jamar on one side, and then you've got T. Higgins on the other side, and it's like he's got such great chemistry with both of those receivers. One would think you'd want to give him a little bit of time and make sure he's healthy to keep this offense going because they have nothing going on defensively, and I just kind of feel like that's going to be the problem for the Bengals this year is they're going to probably score a lot of points, but their defense is going to give up a lot of points, and then it's just not going to translate in the wins, and I feel like this is just going to be another typical Cincinnati Bengals season. But an even worse team. As a matter of fact, I think, as usual, finishing in fourth place, I have the Cleveland Browns in the AFC North finishing in last. But not only do I have them finishing in last, I have them going as the worst team in the league this year, yet again. I kind of feel like that's the most... Who's been the worst team of all time? Probably the Cleveland Browns. I feel like they've had the most number one picks. They've had the worst records of all time. And they're just an all-around garbage-ass team. I have them going 1-16 this year. Yes, that's what kind of a season I have for the Browns this year. I feel like it's going to be another rotating quarterback year. They, for some reason, are starting the season off with Deshaun Watson, which is just mind-blowing. Because if you saw this dude's fucking press conference a couple weeks ago after he gets booed in the middle of a game, he took it like a bitch, as one would expect Deshaun Watson's stupid ass to take it. And then the next day he gets announced as starter, and it's like, God, that's so pathetic. I would take Shedeur Sanders over him any day of the week, simply because at least you have something with Shedeur. You could at least maybe build with something. Deshaun is a whiny little fucking twat, and that's all there is to it. And I just kind of feel like at some point, if he doesn't get injured again, he's just going to get pulled because he's so terrible. And I just feel like it's going to be, I mean, they already have. They've kept four quarterbacks on their roster to start the season. So, I mean, that kind of, to me, telegraphs that we're going to have a rotating quarterback basically every 4 weeks. Expect a different quarterback with the Cleveland Browns. And then just overall, they have a terrible roster because they traded away Myles Garrett. And I looked at every position and I was like, whoa, they don't even have like a standout player anymore. So, I think the Browns are going to be not only the worst team in the AFC North, but I think the Browns are going to be the worst team in the entire league and have the number one overall pick yet again to squander and waste and not do anything with it. So, there you go. That's how I have the NFC and AFC North divisions coming out. And I will talk about the NFC and AFC South divisions on Friday's show. So, you fools, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Friday.